Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the show which talks to Christian leaders about the topics that really matter. I'm Andy Peck. Well, and welcome to the Leadership File, Liz Goddard. Liz has been Vicar of St James the Less since September 2010. She previously served as Associate Vicar at St Mary's Stoke Bishop in Bristol, as a University Chaplain, as Tutor for Ministerial Formation at Wycliffe Hall, and Assistant Minister at St Andrew's Church in North Oxford. She leads missions, does a lot of mentoring and spiritual direction, as well as being the current chair of AWSOM, a network of ordained women evangelicals. Her first book, The Gender Agenda, co-written with Claire Hendry, was published in November 2010. So welcome, Liz, to the Leadership File.
Thank you.
So your journey into ordination, first of all, to get some context to Liz.
Right, yeah. That's a really interesting question. For a long time, I grew up in a home. My father was a vicar.
Okay.
And it was a wonderful home. It was a really exciting home to grow up in because it was in the East End of London and where we had lots of people coming who were very broken, and my parents had an open home. So I saw God at work all the time. Saw alcoholics and drug addicts who were healed, and just amazing things happening. But it was also a home where my father's conservative evangelical. He was very involved in the fight in General Synod against the ordination of women.
Oh, crumbs, right.
So I was very clear that women couldn't be ordained, that they could do anything. He was very clear I could do anything that, you know, I'd been called to, but I shouldn't be ordained. And so I went to university clear that women shouldn't be ordained. And then at university, I was involved in the Christian Union, and we were asked as the exec of the Christian Union to look at the whole issue of women in leadership. And so as an exec, we did that. We looked at it, and I looked at the biblical passages and actually realised for myself, as I read through Scripture, that actually I didn't agree with it. That actually I felt really clearly that Scripture was saying the opposite. So for me, that was really important. I then worked for Tom Wright, who was then chaplain at one of the colleges. I was his research assistant and then his assistant chaplain. As a layperson. And whilst I was there, within 2 weeks of working with him as his assistant chaplain, I went home to my husband, I was then married, and said to him, I found the shape God cut me in. This is what I have to do. I know this is everything else. I thought I was going to go on and do theological research. I thought I was going to do all sorts of other things. But then I just knew this is it.
Wow.
This is what I've made for. It was like putting on a glove and it fitted absolutely perfectly. So that was that, really.
And that being the research, but also getting into Bible and teaching and...
I actually dropped all the ideas of doing research, everything. Okay. It was more, I just knew that I was called to be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, and all of that. So I'd moved away from all that, all those things. So in fact, actually God took me back into teaching, and I went back into being involved at a theological college later, which was fascinating because I never thought I would. But actually, no, I knew I had to be ordained. So having brought me through that whole journey of, is it okay? He then took me and said, now it's okay. This is what I want you to do.
Now, was it a tricky conversation with your dad?
Yes. It was one of those conversations where we sat and we looked at Scripture together and we cried together and we worked through it. And at the end of it, we both said to each other, actually, we trust each other. We love each other. We trust each other. And neither of us have changed our minds.
Okay.
He's still where he was. I'm still where I am. But the day I was ordained priest, he wrote to me. He said, you know, I can't. He came. He said, you know, I can't be robed. I can't lay hands on you. But I promise you, I will pray for you and for your ministry every day of my life.
Oh,
and he's done that. And that, to me, that was more important than him laying hands. His prayers are what really matter.
Sure.
He's a wonderful man.
Oh, great. Well, great to hear. So you serve at St James of the Less, which, for those who know their London geography, is probably the closest church building to
it is,
to Premier Radio. Yes, it's here in Pimlico. You work alongside your husband, Andrew, who serves as an associate vicar, which sounds slightly unusual. So how did that kind of come about? What's that story behind that?
Well, we were married, as I said, when I realised I had a call to, really got to grips with my call for ordination. He also had a call to ordination. And in fact, what we did was we trained together. We had two small children at the time.
Gracious,
so our son was two and our daughter was 5 months when we started training. And so we trained with children in tow. And then we job shared our curacy, which was wonderful. It was just great. I think we were the first couple to do that, to job share our curacy with children. And... we then went on a job shared right the way through until our children were, I think, 16 and 14. So we job shared all the way through, different jobs all the way through, which was a real gift, actually, because it meant we could job share parenting as well, which has been a real passion for us to really make sure that we were job sharing everything and that our children had us there as well as that we were working together. They were different jobs. They were different things we were doing. Now I'm the incumbent. So it means that I'm the person who's a vicar at the church. He is licensed to the church, but he has another job. So he's associate director of the Kirby Lang Institute for Christian Ethics in Cambridge. He's an academic theologian and an ethicist. So he does that. And then he is involved in the church in preaching and leading and mentoring some of the men and things like that.
Sure. And describe the church for us.
It's an evangelical charismatic church. Mm. It's not enormous. It's quite a small church. It's been through some rough times. And since I've been there, we've been working at sorting a lot of the stuff out, bringing it to a place of healing. And we're just getting to the point where we're moving forward in some really exciting ways, which is great.
Fantastic. And the sort of leadership you hope to bring, you talked about your journey into ordination. Was that allied with a particular view of leadership?
Yeah, I think I really believe that Jesus said, you know, he came not to be served, but to serve. Mm, yeah. And I think that's the leadership that we're called to give and to bring. And, you know, in Ephesians 4, it talks about releasing the people of God for works of ministry. And so that's part of that's what I really believe it's about. And so that's how I see my role, really, is to release the people of God into the experience of what it is that God has for them, into their gifts. Mm. And that's really what we see ourselves doing, really. That's what I see myself doing, is looking at people, helping them to discover who they are in Christ. Mm. First of all, who they are, who they're called to be, and then what it is that God has for them, what the gifts are he has for them. And it's really exciting watching the Spirit heal, watching him bringing them into the fullness of their knowledge of who they are in Christ, and then releasing them into their gifts. So releasing them into, seeing people released into gifts of preaching and teaching, releasing them into gifts of service, releasing them into all sorts of gifts of prophecy, and releasing them into all sorts of things within the church, and seeing people who previously thought they had nothing to give at all beginning to come forward, and seeing the church growing because the people of God are growing. That's very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Well, it's lovely to hear you say that. Obviously, classically, stereotypically, priests and vicars have kind of tended to do it.
Yes.
You know, and people have been spectators.
Yes.
And clearly that's antithetical to what, you know, it's very, very different to what you're aiming to do.
Very different, yes. Now, I believe that my role is to mentor and help people to discover what it is that God has for them, so that they can just grow and grow and become more and more what God has for them. Yeah. Because I don't think it, I believe in the priesthood of all believers.
Sure.
And I believe that actually, you know, if you look at what I said, you know, all the lists of the gifts, they're lists for all God's people. And therefore, you know, we have people in our church who can preach brilliantly, you know, and my job is to teach them. One of the things I did when I was working at a theological college was I taught people preaching as well as other things. And so I'm teaching again here and helping people to learn how to do that and releasing them in those things. And not just preaching, all sorts of things. And that's really exciting, watching as people who thought they had to just be pew fodder discover that actually they can get out of the pews and learn how to do that and be excited by it, not just in the church, but in their everyday lives as well. And that's really important, discovering that they can share their faith, that they can be out there and they can be praying for people, you know, wherever they are.
That's terrific. Well, your first book, as I mentioned in the introduction, is The Gender Agenda, co-written with Claire Hendry. I understand in the book you discuss women's roles from different perspectives.
Yeah.
What were you hoping to do in the book?
Right. Oh, that's really interesting. We were asked I was asked actually by IVP to write the book. It came as a result of, I was given two massive tomes by IVP to be a reader for. They were two opposing books, one on why women shouldn't be in leadership and all the biblical texts, and the other on why they should. And they were just really heavy, and they just shouted at each other across a massive abyss.
Right.
And I wrote back to IVP and said, this is fine, but wouldn't it be nice if they talked to each other and engaged and showed that actually Christians can be friends still whilst disagreeing on this? So then they wrote back to me and said, why don't you write it? Find someone who you can talk to about
Indeed,
it.
Yeah.
So I then contacted Claire, who I knew through Awesome, which is the group for evangelical ordained women that I chair. In fact, I was involved in setting up and with some other wonderful women, and which we've grown over the years. And Claire is our she's a permanent deacon, which means that she holds a very clear line on women's headship, on headship. And so she's involved with that. And I said to her, well, do you fancy writing this with me? And so we talked about it and we came to the conclusion it'd be a great thing to do. And we wrote it as a series of emails to each other. Mm. So we go through the whole of the biblical witness, starting with Genesis, going right the way through to the end of Scripture. And we write emails to each other all the way through, okay. looking at the passages. And our aim is really to show why Christians disagree, what the different views are, and to show that actually you can do that in a positive, creative way, rather than in a way that is destructive and that shouts and is negative. And that trusts each other. And that still says, actually, we still believe one gospel. We still can work together. We can still, move forward. And so that's what we did.
Oh, fantastic. And it's published by IVP. So
it's published by IVP,
The people that you went back to publish it.
Yeah.
So you can no doubt get that the normal places, Christian bookshops.
Yeah, and it's available as an e-book as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
So.
Well, you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Liz Goddard. Liz is Vicar of St James the Less here in London. We'll be back just after this. Well, welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Liz Goddard. Liz is the Vicar of St James the Less. She's been there since September 2002. It's the church that's closest to Premier Radio Studios here in Pimlico in London area. We were talking before the break of her first book, The Gender Agenda, which she co-wrote with Claire Hendry. Liz, if we can continue to focus a little bit on the theme of that book, The Gender Agenda, because clearly listeners will be from vast broad spectrums of churches,
of
whom women's are, been comfortably in leadership for decades, even longer. Others a bit more nervous about that. And for many in the evangelical world, some of the concerns are over particular scriptures. And I just, again, we haven't got time to unpack them in detail. But what would be the one or two kind of the key principles, scriptures that you would be basing your understanding on? Because you would say I'm biblical in being encouraging women to teach and lead, just as those in the opposition say the opposite. So are the key scriptures that are kind of planks for you in the argument?
Yes. I think the whole of scripture
Indeed.
For me is
is
key. I think I would go back to Genesis.
Right.
And the fact that actually in Genesis it's absolutely clear that when God created man and woman, he created them for mutuality. There was no hierarchy there at all.
No.
There was no there's no authority there. That the only time when you get any dominance comes in, it's post fall. And that's really important. That's really important, because what happens is that comes in after the fall. It comes in as a result of the fall. And that, for me, defines everything. That's really important, because therefore, when we get to Galatians 3:21, what you're saying is that actually, when it says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male and female, it's really important, because what it's saying is, in Christ, when we have salvation, what it's saying is you get Christ is in salvation, in redemption. It takes us back to, in the new creation, what Christ is doing is he's bringing us back to how we should be living.
Right.
He's restoring creation and creation order. And that's how we should be living. Now, obviously, there are things that have gone wrong. Obviously, we need to work out how we operate within that. For me, too. You'll be surprised to hear 1 Timothy 2 is really important. I love 1 Timothy 2. It's one of my favourite parts of the Bible. And that's because it starts with telling the people that actually women should learn. Women should be taught. and they should learn. And that's because it was written to a context where women weren't taught. Mm. It's like writing to modern-day Afghanistan, where girls are refused education. Mm. And that would have been the same there. They would have been refused education. And actually to say, actually, I want women to be taught, would have been revolutionary. Mm. In our context, we hear that and think, gah, you know? Mm. Actually, what he's saying is, shut up. No, he's not. He's saying they need to be taught. And that's absolutely, you know, I find that spine tingling. Mm-hmm. I find it so exciting. What Paul is saying is, let them learn, let them be taught. Because by teaching them and giving them the chance to be taught, then he sets them free in order that they can then be able to teach. Because what he's actually saying to them is, they mustn't usurp authority. They mustn't try and teach when they haven't been taught. Of course not. None of us would want someone to teach who hasn't been taught. That's absolutely right and absolutely proper. Mm-hmm. That's in a nutshell.
No,
there's loads more I could say.
No, absolutely, very helpful. And you know, the as I've heard someone say, you know, if Paul is prohibiting women from leading and teaching, then Paul himself didn't even do that, because other parts of Scripture he's clearly allowing women to lead and teach.
Exactly.
You know, in other letters and in the book of Acts, we have
and you have
Priscilla
to
and Aquila.
You have
and
to make You have to make sure that you hold each bit of Scripture in the light of all pieces. You can't just say that those two verses, you know, have to be held separate. They don't. They have to all of Scripture has to be held together.
Yeah. Great. Well, and clearly you're encouraging women in their leadership with the Awesome Group. What are the sort of things you do in Awesome?
Right. Well, we have a network of networks. So we have lots of different networks across the country that meet up with ordained women across the country. And that's across the whole evangelical spectrum. Mm. So from those, as I said, who are permanent deacons across the more conservative through to the charismatic, open evangelicals, everybody. We have a regular conference, which is several days a year, where we get together and we have teaching on different aspects of ministry. We have a website. We send out e-bulletins. We're encouraging. We ensure that we keep women up to date on what's going on. Mm. We've had events where we're get together, for example, patronage boards, to get them to think about why women aren't being appointed, evangelical women, to particular posts. Mm-hmm. So there are big issues around the fact that there are, for example, the large evangelical churches have very few women appointed to those. So we had a consultation, and we brought all the evangelical patronage boards together and gave them, did presentations, got them thinking about their appointment processes, all those sort of things. I'm involved on a national level on behalf of Awesome and therefore on behalf of our members with lots of work going on with them on the Archbishop's Transformations Group, which is where he brings together the those who represent the different women's groups within the Church of England, looking at a whole range of different things, including doing research on women's ministry. So we do a whole lot of different things. We've been involved in discussions with Reform, which is a very conservative group within the Church of England, helping them, helping to have discussions across those boundaries about Scripture and how we read Scripture, how we understand each other, and ensuring that conversations are always going on. Mm. So we do a lot of cross-boundary discussions and so lots of different things.
Well, it's good to hear that. I understand that. I mean, to use the vernacular, there's the complementarians who believe you know, that women shouldn't be in headship roles, and the egalitarians.
Yeah.
And I understand that for some egalitarians, it's not just an agree to differ issue. This is actually very central. In other words, this is a gospel issue, just as racism might be.
Yes.
Yeah. And therefore, it's quite a lot. It's what you've described is lovely, but it can generate an awful lot of emotional fervour.
Yes.
And conviction.
Yes. Yes, it can. And one of the things that we try and do, I mean, that's absolutely true. There are people, and actually, I think actually it becomes quite a gospel issue for some of the complementarians
to
be really honest. And one of the things we are trying to do is to try and hold together and try and have conversations across some of those barriers so that actually we don't tear apart. And I think that's quite important. That's not to say that there aren't those within our group on both ends of that spectrum, actually. I think there are those within our group for whom that is true on both ends. But what we're trying to do within our group and beyond is to have those conversations and trying to keep lines of communication open, as well as equipping our membership for just to get on with the job. and to ensure that female evangelicals don't feel that they are alienated from the evangelical heartland, because very often it's very easy for women who are evangelicals within the Church of England, and I think probably with outside as well, to feel that they're alienated from their constituency, because there are those within the evangelical constituency who will say, actually, because you wear a dog collar, because you are ordained, you can't be an evangelical.
Right, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And so what we do is we provide a home that is solidly there. And solidly says, actually, yes, you can. And you are. And it's okay. And this is how you do it. Mm. And that's very important. It's very important. And we provide a voice. Mm. And actually, I think providing the voice is one of the most important things we do. You know, we provide the support, we provide equipping, but actually being a voice has become a really, really significant thing that we do. And we are heard, and our voice is becoming more and more significant within the church more widely and within our own constituency.
So without going into the details of individuals, presumably you have people who are quite struggling, wounded, who are finding things quite tough, who come to the group?
There have been all sorts of things. There are women who do find things very hard. Mm. And it's good to have a space where people can be, can find a space where they can talk. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. And it's also, I think it's also a really good thing that we can provide a space that channels that in and addresses that, as well as supporting. I think it's good to have a space that supports it, but it's also good to have a space where actually we can do something about it. Mm. You know, we're not just a support group. We actually do help to engage with that, which is, I think, is really important.
And having like-minded folk who
exactly,
you know, going through the same thing just helps to reduce the burden.
Massively.
Good. Just as we close, I mean, I see from the church, from the website, the church has a 5-year plan that you're part of. I mean, I'm just wondering how the plan's going. It's a few years underway, and you talk encouragingly that things are starting to open up and move.
Yeah, I think probably we're not as far on the 5-year plan as we could be, but that's because there were a lot of things that needed to be done in terms of sorting. But it's going well, which is great. Mm. We are moving forward, and it's just a very exciting. Mm. It's an exciting place to be. Part of the 5-year plan was to get our building work underway. Mm-hmm. We've started that, which is really exciting. I think we've raised about £700,000, which is really, very exciting. Lots of money from grants, which is really good. And which means we're now very close to the point where we've got youth work. I think we hope will be starting in September. Quite significant. We've got a youth work trust about to come up and running, which is great. Mm. That means a whole load of other things will start to get into place. So yes, there's something very important about planning for the future and being clear about what your objectives are. And even if you then have to go back and say, actually, you know, we may have been a bit over enthusiastic about how we're going to get there, but actually being clear about what you're aiming for under God, and then saying to the Lord, actually, Lord, do you want to readjust that? Mm. And then adjusting it together and looking at it together and constantly saying, okay, what does that look like? How's that going to work? Mm. And allowing God to take you forward and always coming back. We had a PCC away day about 4 weeks ago, and got really excited and saw how he was putting things in place for it, you know, and just waiting on him and allowing God to take us forward. Very exciting. And all of us sitting down and waiting and seeing and just seeing the blocks he was putting in place for that. Mm. And that's very exciting. And and for people who aren't used to doing that, seeing God doing those things is it's very formative. Wonderful. And very exciting.
Well, sadly, Liz, time's defeated us. But just to say that, I mean, people can find out about St James of Less if they're local and they're listening and they're local to Pimlico or the Victoria area.
Yep.
It's STJ.
SJTL.
SJTL.org. SJTL.org. So log on to that. So lovely to chat with you. Thank you so much. And
Thank
the Awesome Network,
me.
If people want to get involved with that, where would they go for the Awesome Network if they're a women leader in a church?
That's awesome. You don't under
just
awesome.org.uk.
Fantastic. Okay, well, you do log on to Premier's own website, of course, and you can listen to archive versions of Leadership File, including this one, in due course. I look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.